regular part of each and every first word, Monday edition, right about 10:30. Okay, I know it's 10:37, so sue me. But right about 10:30 is a visit with the A&M coaching staff, Rob Childress some days, others Coach Talbot, and this morning, A&M assistant coach Matt Deggs. Coach, good morning to you.
How you doing, Louie?
I'm doing outstanding. How are you doing? Finally got the 2008 season underway.
Well, a lot of expectation, a lot of excitement surrounding this past weekend, and, you know, to say we were disappointed would be an understatement.
Went 2-2. I know that you and Coach Childress basically 4-0, 3-0 every weekend. You don't want any losses.
No, I mean, you're talking about a group of guys, really, that hates losing more than they enjoy winning, and obviously this weekend was unacceptable.
Let's start with the starting pitching. They had an excellent weekend, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that was, there were some positives, obviously, that came out of this weekend, and I think you start with the pitching and, not just the starters, but the guys that we ran out of the bullpen, and, I think those guys did a tremendous job of attacking the strike zone and being able to locate more than one pitch, and we probably threw more pitches in the 90s than we did in the 80s, and that was a pretty good indicator of where these guys are going to be in the next couple months.
Travis Darling got the call out of the pen three times. All three times he responds, did not give up a run, managed to pull out a save. Is he kind of like a pitcher MVP of the weekend candidate?
Yeah, I think, that whole staff was really, Travis, he's got a big league out pitch, and anytime you have something to put the hitter to bed with, so to speak, that's the type of guy you want at the back of the bullpen. He has great command, very competitive, and, he throws an 85, 86 mile an hour knuckle curveball that it's tough to hit. It's a big league quality pitch.
What is his out pitch?
It's just the old Bert Hooten knuckle curveball. A lot of guys throw a spike curve, which is totally different. You just pull one finger up. This, you actually hold like a knuckleball, but then you release your fingers back through it, so you get some velocity on the pitch as well.
You got to see some of the young pitchers, Brooks Raley, Barrett Lux. How did they perform for you? How did you like their opening performances in that Aggie uniform?
They did about what we thought they would do. Lux, obviously, is just scratching the surface of his potential. He has a lot better command than he showed. That's really one of his strengths, when you can command, 94, 95, fastball. Obviously that's your strength. And his command was a little bit spotty, but he never really got rattled, and I thought threw the ball tremendously. He gave up a couple of jacks, but both of them were solo jobs, and if you're going to give them up, that's the way you want to do it.
And how about Brooks Raley on the weekend for you?
Brooks, Brooks wasn't as sharp as he generally is in inter-squad settings, and some of that has to do with the fact he's a legitimate two-way player, and generally his breaking stuff is a little bit better, but, first time out of the chute, I would say he did more than hold his own.
I know that Coach Childress, the pitching philosophy, right, walks are the plague. You don't believe in walks. So 11 walks in 34 innings, about right, too many?
I think this team's, 1 to 2 walks a game type staff, one walk generally is unacceptable around here, and the staff is built on just going out and competing and attacking the strike zone, and we want our pitchers to make the other team put the ball in play as fast as possible.
Now, defensively, 9 errors in 4 games. Something tells me all the coaches cannot be happy with that.
No. And, when you look at that, it seems like a large number, but when you break it down, 2 of them are catcher interference, so now you've had 7. Dane Carter, a couple of throwing errors that generally he's not going to make, and an error from a pitcher in Kirkland Rivers where he just throws a ball, down in the dirt, and Luke digs it at first, but pulled him off the bag a little bit. So, our errors, when you look at them, really... we had a ground ball that wasn't fielded yesterday, but other than that, they were more or less just unforced errors that we're going to clean up. And overall, I think they're going to play pretty solid defense.
So when you break down the errors, you don't see you know, cause for concerns 3 weeks from now. You see things that can all be handled.
No, I mean, if we were kicking balls all over the place or, you know, missing pop flies or something like that, yeah, that would raise an eyebrow. But when you're talking about two of theirs being catcher's interference and another one a pitcher fielding a slow roller and just, you know, throwing it down and away, those are things that you know, that you can correct. And, you know, so to say we're pleased with the defensive effort this weekend, no. But, you know, to say that these are things that are going to be cleaned up, most certainly.
We're visiting with A&M assistant coach Matt Deggs. And, Coach, I know the offense, that's your world. Coach Childress always calls you his offensive coordinator. Your thoughts on the performance all four games together?
Well, I mean, you know, going in, everybody knows that the strength of our team is the offense and the hitters that we return, and the speed that we possess is unbelievable. And, you know, we got humbled this weekend from myself on down. We got humbled and we had to eat a little crow. And I tell you what, if you're going to have to do that, you know, the first series of the year, it isn't a bad time to do it. I mean, we let our approach get away from us. We were too big at the plate. You know, this team's going to hit a lot of home runs, but they're not going to do it going up there trying to do it. And then, you know, on the bases, we were overly aggressive. Northern Colorado did a tremendous job of being quick to the plate. You know, I didn't do a very good job of controlling our base runners at times. And, you know, obviously ran ourselves out of you know, several innings. And, you know, that's something that we're going to correct and do a better job of.
Let's talk about Brian Ruggiano. He was smoking hot at the plate. He started the year ripping the ball.
Yeah, and that's what we expect out of him and all our hitters. And, you know, when you look at the weekend, obviously Brian, who's playing a new position, did a great job behind the plate. And then, you know, he just had a tremendous weekend at the plate, very aggressive, very disciplined, swings going back through the middle of the field. And look at Dane Carter, a part-time player for us last year for the most part, because he had a torn quad most of the season. You know, he showed what he's capable of doing at the plate and just being an igniter. And for a small guy, he has tremendous strength and power, and he can really run. And I thought Jose Duran, for his first time on a Division I stage, you know, held his own at the plate and competed really hard. And other than that, you know, I think we forgot who we were for a couple, two or three games there, and we tried to do too much. And, you know, what we always tell these kids is you're not going to start this season hitting .315 with 67 homers and 150 stolen bases already. You're going to have to go back out there and earn that. And, you know, we kind of just came out like, you know, here we are, and we're just going to take it from you. And Northern Colorado had other ideas, and we got knocked on our butt a little bit.
We're visiting with A&M assistant coach, baseball coach Matt Deggs on the first word. You know, Coach, you were talking about how with the defense you saw what happened and you realized going forward it'll be okay. Offensively, I don't think that Blake Stover and Darby Brown are going to go 0-23 every weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go on the record as saying they're not.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you'd asked anybody that we're going to steal five bases on the weekend, Stover and Brown and Anders are going to have two hits between them, and Anders is going to have both of them, people would have looked at you like they're nuts, and like you're nuts. And, you know, it's baseball is a funny game, and it's a game about being humbled, and you're going to fail more times than you know, succeed, and it's how you handle that and how you bounce back and respond. I mean, you know, just looking at Stover, you think of Robin Ventura, you know, probably pound for pound the best college hitter of all time. You know, certainly had the longest hitting streak, and you know, he goes to the big leagues, and I think he starts off 0-40, 0-41, something like that. And it can happen to the best of them. There's a lot of expectations surrounding these hitters, and two or three in particular. And there's a lot on these boys' shoulders, and until we learn how to harness that and you know, channel our anxiousness and energy in the right direction, We're going to have some up and downs, and you know, we're just glad that it was this first weekend and not in the middle of May sometime. But one thing we can guarantee is this team has a chance to be a great team, and they will respond and they will get better. And I think that was just the message from Coach Childress this weekend. You know, the L's in February stand for learning, is what Coach Talbot tells them, and you know, I firmly believe that if we approach it the right way, this team they'll get better.
So how do you as a coach kind of balance a message of, you know, you didn't perform well, you know you got to do better, but you don't want to harp on it to the point where, you know, you're kind of pushing them down also? I mean, that's part of coaching every day. How do you balance that? How do you make that work?
You bring up examples, Louie, and, you know, I look back in 2004 when I was at the University of Arkansas, and you know, we were picked to come in dead last in the SEC, and all we did was go win the SEC and go to Omaha, go to the College World Series. And I told them the other day after that game, I said, you know what? In the middle of that year, we got swept by Texas Pan America. And, you know, when Rob and I were at Northwestern State, one of the years LSU won the World Series, we went to Baton Rouge and we swept them in their own ballpark. This stuff happens. It's how you're going to handle it is going to determine, you know, the direction that this team heads. And this team's very tough, very tough-minded. They hate to lose. And, you know, I guarantee you, though, they will respond. They will be an exciting group. And, you know, we will be shocked and all this year if they don't win a championship. And just because they've got that type of ability and that type of hunger. We got humbled this weekend is what happened.
Now, with the new midweek schedule, because of the new uniform start times for games and practice and all, do you wish you had some practice time on the horizon? Because today's the off day, and you got game Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, I mean, this is the way baseball was meant to be played. Baseball is meant to be played every day. And this is more of a professional schedule, and your practice time is on game day, and that comes before the game starts, and in batting practice, and even before that in early work, and you know, that's where you get better, and you know, so as far as the schedule goes, I wish we played more games. You know, I think baseball is definitely a game of repetition, and you know, that's why the big leaguers play 162 of them. And so the more games we can play, the better. We've got the pitching to handle it. What we need to do as hitters is you know, hold up our end of the bargain. And, you know, I think you're going to see a special group of hitters down the line. It's hard to overcome. You know, I made several mistakes. I probably cost us the second game. And, you know, Colligan gets doubled off a second, and that was my fault. I got greedy. I saw the outfielder going to dive for the ball, and thought, you know, this is going to the wall, and we're down by three at the time. And, you know, so, you know, I have to do a better job. You know, the kids realize the mistakes that we made, and we're going to clean it up, and we're going to be fine.
Coach, you have McNeese State on Tuesday and again on Wednesday. Any feel yet for the two starting pitchers we might see?
I think we're going to run Shane Minks out there first, and Carson Middleton out there on Wednesday. And if we can add Middleton to the mix, even better. I mean, I think when you look at the weekend, you look at Tebow and Meagle and Lux and Rivers, a guy like Cravey that came out of nowhere, and Hank Robertson had tremendous two innings, and Clayton Eller did a nice job. You add one more arm to that mix, and we're going to be feeling pretty good about it. You know, you look at Scott Meagle. Kid's 86, 87 last year. He's up to 94 in the first inning.
Wow. And, how does that happen?
Well, he's 6'4". He's very athletic. Tremendous feel for the game. You know, rock solid delivery. And it's a matter of time before guys like that get bigger and stronger. And it's, you know, they're pretty easy to project on.
So Minks Tuesday, Middleton on Wednesday. If all goes according to how you'd like it to play out.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we would like to do, and you know, we're going to come out, and we're going to play hard like we always do on Tuesday night, and get this thing rolling again.
Coach, I thank you so much for taking time out of your morning. I always appreciate the time you and all the coaches make for the First Word. Best of luck this season.
I appreciate it, Louie, and we appreciate what you guys do over there.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. See you.